Well, let's turn in our Bible to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. As you're turning there, listen to this story. There was a patient who visited his psychiatrist, and the patient said, "Doctor, I cannot seem to clearly make up my mind about what I should do. I just feel like I'm in a difficult spot in my life." And the psychiatrist responded and said to the patient, "Well, have you always had trouble making a clear decision in your life?" And the patient said, "Well, yes and no." Sometimes making decisions can kind of be like that. Yes and no. Should I do this? Should I do that? Yes and no. I need guidance. I need direction. I need to find counsel. What do I do? Do we have trouble making decisions? Well, yes and no. That can be the case. Psalm 25 is going to give us much help and clarity. Follow with me as I read this wonderful, wonderful chapter in the Bible. It is a psalm of David. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness's sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with violent hatred. Guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." Father, we pray that you would teach us from your perfect, reliable, inerrant, sufficient, and clear word. For the glory of Christ, we pray. Amen. In the psalm, David needed guidance from God through the difficulties of his life. It might be fair to say that you need guidance from God in your life. I need guidance from God in my life. And the theme of Psalm 25, it's obvious as we read it, it's the guidance of God. That's the theme of the psalm in verses 4 and 5, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14. God teaching, leading, guiding, and directing his people. But we are living in times where many are confused about how to make decisions and how to get reliable guidance. How do we make decisions and how do we get guidance from God? And I want to hopefully encourage you and maybe take a little bit of a burden off of your shoulders tonight by telling you this, that God's will for you is not for you to crawl into the dark, deep, far-off mind of God and try to uncover the hidden mystery of God. That's not what he wants. And you can't do that. Rather, the will of God is revealed in the Word of God. And so God wants you to study. He wants you to obey. He wants you to follow. And he wants you to trust in him. So we might say very simply that the will of God, people say, I want to know the will of God. The will of God is found in the Word of God. Everybody needs guidance. I need guidance. You need guidance. We want to make decisions well. We want to honor and glorify God in how we make decisions. But in your outline, I give you some really bad ways that people make decisions. It's everywhere. Number one, some rely on mysticism. I had a dream. God told me. We hear that all the time. You need to listen for the Spirit's voice. Well, how do you know it's the Spirit's voice and not a hungry tummy that's growling? Some rely on secularism. Just do what you want. Just do what you want. Just be you. Whatever makes you happy, that's secular. Third, some rely, and this is very, very common, emotionalism. It's just, I have a peace about it. I feel good about this decision. Or paganism. Paganism. Fate. Manipulation. Give me a sign. I've got an impulse about this or that. That's paganism. That's not God's way. Or fifth, popular opinions. Well, what do other people do? What's the common way that people make decisions and what are they choosing to do? But none of those are biblical. None of those are reliable. None of those are God-honoring. And none of those are objective. Now, to be fair, the Bible might be included in some of the thinking of some people that fit in those categories. But the Bible is not the sufficient, reliable guide for most people. It might have a part to play in decision making, but it's not the ultimate authority in the decision making. And yet Psalm 25 is going to help us. What I want to preach and proclaim as we go through this psalm very briefly tonight is I want Psalm 25 to sort of grab you and I from the collar, and it's going to say, lean on the Word of God. Lean on the Word. Trust in the Word. And you find the will of God in the Word of God. Now, David wrote the psalm in a very difficult situation in life. He needed guidance. He had troubles. He was tempted to fear. And he had to be controlled by God. It's a prayer. And it's also a lament because he's going through troubling times. And it's what we call an acrostic. That's a form of literary writing where each verse, each line in the Hebrew text begins with the next letter of the alphabet. So like the first line would be A. The second line would begin with B. The third line would begin with C in the Hebrew. And why do they do that? To make it memorable. So this was important enough for David to make this song memorable so that we would know, learning from him, how to find guidance in life. So how do you make decisions? How do you get guidance? God's way in your life. You don't lay the fleece out. It's not about looking for a sign. It's not about a certain feeling or emotional impulse. It's not about hearing the voice of God audibly. We need clarifying guidelines. I think in your outline I put four. There's five. So let me give you five from the psalm. Number one, you see it here, trust in God. It all begins there. Trust in God. Look at verse 1. This is awesome. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Now, to you, O Lord, not to Google I will search. It's not to the reviews will I look. It's not to my friends will I pursue. Or my feelings will I trust? No, no, no. David says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Christian, it's easy to go anywhere. It's easy to go elsewhere. It's easy to go to something that we can type or touch or feel. But Christian, learn from David. Go to God. Trust in the Lord. He is dependable. We all live in a state of dependency on the Lord. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Isaiah 26:4 says, trust in the Lord forever. Forever. Notice verse 1 gives the direction. To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. And then in verse 2, David shows his desperation. In you I trust. Don't let me be ashamed. And then verse 3 gives the declaration. Verse 3 says, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. What does that mean to be ashamed? That's what I want to know in verse 2. Don't let me be ashamed. It's so important that he ends the psalm that way in verse 20. It's like a bookend in verse 20. Don't let me be ashamed. What does that mean? It has nothing to do with being humiliated. That's not the idea at all. In the Hebrew, when David says, don't let me be ashamed, it's the idea of this. Don't let me be disappointed. Don't let me be disappointed because I have trusted in you, O God. Don't let me find you untrustworthy. In other words, God, your God, is always, always, always trustworthy. I love Paul quotes it in Romans 9:33. All who believe in the Lord will never be disappointed. What a great way that Paul puts that. All who believe in the Lord will never be disappointed. Now think about your decision-making processes that you've had. Think about how you've made decisions recently. Maybe minor ones. Maybe some life-altering ones. How have you made decisions? Does it reveal a steady trust in God who is reliable? How do you make decisions? What's the grid by which you make decisions in your life? We all do hundreds of them every day. Number one, it all begins with, to you, O Lord, trusting in God. Number two, look in your outline, following the trust in God, search the word. Verse 4, look in your Bible, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths, lead me in your truth, teach me. End of verse 5, for you I wait all day long. After coming to God in prayer, in trusting God, now David turns, listen to this, to objective divine revelation from God. Verse 4, I want to know your ways. Verse 4, teach me your paths. Verse 5, lead me in the truth. And verse 5 says, teach me. These are prayers in verses 4 and 5. Lord, I want to know you. I want you to teach me. Church family, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to my knees and prayed these verses. I don't know what to do. Teach me. Lead me. Guide me. Help me. These are the prayers in verses 4 to 5. But look at the presuppositions in verses 6 and 7. Remember, Lord, your compassions and your love. God, remember how merciful you are toward me. Remember that you're a compassionate God. Verse 7, don't remember the sins of my youth. Can't we all say that? Don't remember my sins. Don't hold them against me. Lord, I need you to teach me. I want to know your ways. You say, Jeff, I know that. I know I should search the Bible. You and I get it, but what does that look like practically? So you're making decisions. You got to figure out what to do. You've got maybe not a life or death decision, maybe not even a sinful or a non-sinful decision, but just a one in life that is a good and another good option. What do you decide and how do you know what to do? Maybe when you're stuck and don't know what to do, perhaps you say, you know what, I'm going to wake up earlier and I'm going to read 25 Psalms. And the next day I'm going to read the next 25 Psalms. And the next day I'm going to read the next 25 Psalms. In 6 days I'll finish the whole book of Psalms. Or you say, I'm going to read all of the Gospel of Mark one afternoon and follow my Savior and how he prayed and lived and made decisions. Or maybe I'm going to read all of Paul's epistles one evening in your life. Maybe you say no to some activities so that you can say yes to intensive, extensive, and focused searching of Scripture. Maybe it's, you know what, it's not about quantities of Bible, but maybe I'm gonna go deeper in the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to read the Proverbs over a number of days, and I'm going to pray asking God for wisdom and guidance and direction as to him giving the parameters for how to make decisions in my life. Maybe I'm going to read the Gospels, and I'm going to see how Jesus thought and spoke and acted. Or I'm going to read 1 and 2 Peter and James repeatedly until God gives me clarity for a decision. What's the point? Soaking yourself in the Word of God so that you begin to think the way the Scripture thinks. That's the goal. That's how God makes us to know his ways. That's how God teaches us through the steady, regular teaching of the Word of God. So how does God lead us? How does he guide us? Well, he guides through the Word. Never apart from the Word. He guides through the Word ultimately. And of course, there's wise counselors, and the Holy Spirit will guide us in Romans 8, and we ought to pray in believing prayer, James 1, and he guides through providence, but it's the Word of God, the Bible, that is our reliable source for guidance. Now, keep your finger here. You got to go with me to this verse, because if you don't know Deuteronomy 29:29, you need to. This is one of the key verses, Deuteronomy 29:29. Many people know the beginning part of the verse, but they don't know the end of the verse. Easy to remember, 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29. You got to know it, maybe highlight it, maybe underline it, and come back to this verse. What does God want? The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Well, there's a will of God that we don't know. The secret things belong to God. Many people put a period there. Keep reading. But the things revealed in the Bible, the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever. Why? So that we may keep or observe or do all the words of the law. So note carefully, there are two very important truths in this verse. There is, number one, the decreed will of God. God has a sovereign decree, the secret will of God. You and I don't know that will. It's divine, it's sovereign, it's in the eternal counsels of God. That's the secret plans of God. But then there is also what we call the preceptive will of God. It's the revealed will in the precepts of the Bible. Yes, there's the decreed will. We don't know that. But there's the preceptive will from the Bible. That's the revealed will. You and I don't know the secret things of God. God doesn't want you to try to figure it out. You can't figure it out. But he's given the revealed will. He's given the preceptive will, and he wants you to know it and obey it. So we'll never know the will of God apart from the Word of God. Back to Psalm 25, David says, teach me, lead me. Oh, I wish I knew God's sovereign will for these things. Well, you don't, and you won't. But listen carefully, your confidence in decision-making is never from you having a super spiritual knowledge of God's hidden will. I need to know who to marry. God's not going to reveal that decreed will before the right time. But rather, your confidence in decision-making is your reliance on the sovereignty of God and your obedience to the revealed will of God. That's your confidence. You don't need the super spiritual knowledge of God's hidden will. You need to know what God has said in the Bible and do it. That's what he wants. So he wants you, number one, to trust in him. Trust in God, number one. Search the word, number two. And then number three, look in your outline. How do we make decisions and get guidance from God? Oh, so great. We must rehearse God's character. I was with someone today talking and reflecting on the goodness of our God and just the difficulties of life. And we came back to the character of God. Verse 8. Look at Psalm 25, verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice. He teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth. So our comfort when you make decisions is not ultimately, it's not you saying, I know I've got the right decision. I know I've made the right decision. That's not your comfort. Your comfort must rest solely on the good, loving, faithful, wise character of God. You know, God is so amazing and sovereign that God's plan can never be thwarted by your decision making. Do you believe that? You can't, ultimately, in the plan of God, make a wrong decision to thwart the plan of God. Your decisions will be in the sovereign decree of God. It will be the working out of God's sovereign decrees. But here's what you want. You want your decisions to follow the revealed will of God in the Bible. So here's what you do. You make a decision. You trust God. You rely upon God. You know that God is a God of providence, working things together for good. And then, Christian, you rest in his fatherly love and in his fatherly care. You rest. You rest. Verse 8, notice all the attributes. I mean, it's like the rays of the sun of God's glory and beauty. We see that God is good, verse 8. He's upright. He instructs us. Verse 9, he leads us. He does so with justice. Verse 10, he is providentially working all things for good. It's like the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament here in verse 10. We see that God forgives in verse 11. He glorifies himself for his name's sake. You want to know how practical this is? That means that when you make a decision that you believe is right, biblical, you're following God's word, you can make it with a clean conscience, you're not constantly going back and forth. What about this, this, this? You trust in a loving, wise, good God. It's the beauty of the character of God made so practical. And then fourth, look in your outline. How do we make decisions and get guidance from God? Well, we must trust in the Lord, number one. We must search the word, number two. We must rehearse God's character, number three. Number four, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. You know what God desires? Intimate communion with you. And we see that here in verse 12. Look at verse 12. Who is the man who fears the Lord? God will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity. Verse 14, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. The secret in verse 14 is the intimate counsel. The loving fellowship with God is for those who fear him. What does that mean? What does that mean to fear him? It means to adore God, to tremble before God, to honor God, to have a high view of God, to look to God. What does that have to do with decision making? Why fear the Lord? How does this fit in to David in a difficult place needing decision-making guidance from God? Here's what it means. We don't need to fear circumstances. We don't need to fear the unknown. We don't need to fear the endless possibilities. If I do this, well, what about this? What about that? What about that? What if he does that? What if she does that? What if this happens? We don't need to fear the uncertain circumstances. We don't need to fear other people. Here's what it means. Fear the Lord. How do you drown enslaving fear? Sometimes in decision-making pressure points, fear and anxiety and worry can just mount. I'm so anxious. I got to make a decision. My deadline. I have to do this. What do I do? I feel pressured. I feel cornered. I don't know what to do. And here's what God is saying in verses 12 and 14 and verse 15. What is it that drowns enslaving fear? It is having a greater fear of God. How do I get rid of fear? How do I get rid of fear when I'm in a difficult situation in my life? Answer, you've got to drown that lesser fear with a greater fear of the bigness of God. Adoring God, trusting God, revering God, loving God. But what about this? But if I do this, then that could happen. But what about? And we go on and on and on with these possibilities. Stop with that ungodly fear. Trust in your loving Father who cares for you. To fear the Lord. Verse 14, the secret, intimate counsel of God is with those who fear him. And then, do you see it in verse 15? What's the prayer? My eyes are continually toward the Lord. That's a way of saying I am continually praying to God. We must fear the Lord. And then, as if it wasn't concluded there, David has a few more verses. In verses 16 to 22, David tells us one more way that we can get guidance from God in the difficult seasons of life. And how important, number five, live with integrity. Now, did you hear that? Not live with perfection, live with integrity. Live with integrity. You see, to know the will of God, you have to know the Word of God. And whatever God has revealed in the Word, we want to obey it by God's grace, with the help of the Spirit, consistently. Yeah, but I don't know how to manage my time. I don't know if I should take that promotion. I don't know if I should go on that vacation. I don't know where to spend my money. I don't know how much money to give to the church. Out of all these questions, there's no Bible verse that tells you what to do in those cases. So we have to find principles in the Bible, parameters, guardrails, so that we can then make a godly, wise, informed decision within those parameters. We make a decision, we trust God, and we want to obey him. Notice the prayer. Look at verse 16. Turn to me. Be gracious to me. I'm lonely. I'm afflicted. Verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. I mean, here's David going through trouble. Look upon my affliction and my trouble. Forgive all my sins. By the way, another theme in the psalm is forgiveness. God forgives his people. Don't forget that. He forgives his people. He is a merciful God who pardons iniquity, even the lives where we could say, my iniquity is so great. God forgives it. So verse 20, guard my soul, deliver me, don't let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in you. Pause right there. Let that be a place that you can go in your decision making. God is my refuge. Is he your only refuge? This is the hope of the Christian. He's my only refuge, my only confidence, my only hope to enter heaven, my only forgiveness that is found in Christ, the only shelter to hide from the wrath of God is hiding under the shed blood and the perfect righteousness of this refuge, Jesus Christ. You are my refuge. So then verse 21, look at the prayer. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. That's the prayer of David. It's a wonderful psalm. It's a wonderful prayer. We need decision making in our life in a godly way. We need guidance from God for how we make decisions through life. The many decisions that we make. How do we do this? We need to make decisions with an open Bible. We need to make decisions with an open heart. And we need to make decisions with an obedient will. If I could, again, restate what I said earlier in the message, and this psalm says so clearly that we need to be led by God in his truth. We need to be taught by God. So, Christian, the secret things belong to the Lord. I want to know the will of God for my life. What's the will of God for this? You know what? God would say it's not for you to know. But what it is for you to know is revealed right here. So don't worry about figuring out the hidden will of God in the decrees of God. You won't figure that out. But he's given this. So spend your time studying the revealed will, obeying the revealed will, praying through the revealed will of God, and seek to be obedient with God's help. David was going through difficult times, and he needed guidance. He needed help. He was battling even his own assurance, knowing, I need God to forgive me, and he does. God does forgive, and David reassures himself of that numerous times in our psalm. When the times are tough, and you're making decisions, and you don't know where to go, and what to choose, and how to do this, let Psalm 25 be a guide. Open Bible, open heart, and an obedient will. Stuart Scott is a biblical counselor, and he did his doctoral dissertation on the topic of biblical decision-making and the will of God. And in that dissertation, he has just a wonderful, wonderful note. It's from an anonymous author, but I thought it was a really helpful way to conclude our time and prepare us for prayer. Follow with me in your outline. The author said, God's word contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrine is holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. There, heaven is opened and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. So read it carefully, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, health to the soul, and a river of pleasure. It is given to you here in this life, will be opened at the judgment, and is established forever. It involves the highest responsibility. It will reward the greatest labor and condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. And I think to that we would all say, amen. What a great truth. So biblical decision making. How do we get guidance from God? To the Word of God. To the revealed will of God in the Scriptures we go. And God will help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this psalm. Thank you for David in the difficult season of his life, needing your direction and praying this prayer to help us and to be a model prayer for us as we call upon you in times of need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.